There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Ahead on NFL Live, a bombshell announcement from Andrew Luck over the weekend. The Colts quarterback announces his decision to walk away from the NFL. We have a reaction from around the league, plus a live report from Indianapolis as the Colts prepare to move forward with Jacoby Brissett. Just one more week to go until we play football for real. You'll see the standouts from this weekend's dress rehearsal. And ESPN.com has released its annual Top 100. We'll offer our thoughts on the best of the best at their respective positions. We are happy to have you with us on this Monday afternoon after what was an eventful weekend in NFL news. No question about that. I'm Wendy Nix, Field Yates. Keyshawn Johnson made his way from the West Coast. And Bernard Pollard, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Making his NFL Live debut. And, hey, no other day like
exactly.
No time like the present, my friend. Because, obviously, we begin by talking about Andrew Luck and his stunning decision. And if you needed a reason to feel like this was real, well, here it is, folks. This is a picture from this afternoon of Andrew Luck's empty locker as the Colts return to the field and clearly begin to get ready for the start of the regular season. Coming off his best professional season, he's 29. Andrew Luck stunned just about everyone with his decision to retire after seven NFL seasons. Here is Luck making the announcement Saturday night.
This certainly isn't how I envisioned this or planned this, but I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life, but it is the right decision for me. I'm in pain. I'm still in pain. I've been in this cycle, which feels like, it's been 4 years of this injury pain rehab cycle, and for me to move forward in my life the way I want to, It doesn't involve football. It's the greatest team game in the world. I've loved being in that locker room. It's truly been the honor of a lifetime to suit up next to many of those guys, and it's part of what makes this very, very, very difficult.
You'll hear more from Luck coming up, but first a look at his career. In his first 86 career games, 171 touchdowns. That's third most in NFL history, trailing only Dan Marino and Aaron Rodgers. He finished his career ranking third in Colts history in completions, passing yards, pass touchdowns, and wins, trailing only Peyton Manning and Johnny Unitas in all three. In his final season, he threw for 4,593 yards, by far the most of any quarterback in their final season in NFL history, according to Elias Sports Bureau. And finally, Luck's final regular season game, a win over the Titans, 11-0 against Tennessee. Suffered from the injury bug, though, many times. In total, he missed 26 regular season games in his career. Most notably, he missed 9 games in 2015 due to a lacerated kidney and a shoulder injury. He then missed the entirety of the 2017 season due to another shoulder injury. This preseason, he has yet to play due to what's being called a lower leg injury that just kept on. It continued to be a problem, Key. I'll ask everybody's opinion, but, as time went on, you thought there's something more to this. But when you're sitting wherever you were sitting Saturday night and you see this news, what's your initial reaction?
Well, I had to look twice, and, I used some words that I can't use on
correct
television.
I think we all probably
did. And I was
did.
Like, and then I started to dial in. I think I texted a couple people and was like, is this serious? And they were like, yeah, he decided to step away, and that was pretty much it. And then, obviously, the news started to trickle out. Obviously, Adam had his report. Everybody else had their reports. And then you said, okay, well, good for him. Now things have settled down over a couple of days, so you kind of understand why. When things first happen, it's a little bit of a shock to the system, and you're trying to figure out, why did he do it? Is the injury more than what he's telling us? Is there something to it? How much did the Colts know? Did they know he would not only miss the first week, but also miss maybe 6 or 7 games into the season? So rather than do that, he decided to step away for right now. So you're trying to figure all those things out at the same time. You're still in disbelief that he actually pulled it off.
Well, I'm with Key. I look twice. I thought it was one of those, fake accounts or
fake
media.
Adarn Schefter was up
there. Yeah, there he goes again. But then to Key's point, as a few days go by and you realize what that cycle of injury, rehab, being away from the team all over again must be like, it starts to make a little more sense.
But just a little, because, and I don't want to take this, we all respect the decision. It's just that, like, we also knew that the physical toll that goes into any NFL player's body, as these two can actually speak to, is significant and substantial. So it remains a surprise to me. Like, it didn't register 24 hours later that it was fully 100% true. And I understand that when guys retire early, the first question we ask is this a real retirement, or is this a put my career on hold for right now? This felt authentic. This felt final. This felt very much like a chapter of the Andrew Luck life story has been closed. And, I think if you look back on his career, some may view it as, what could have been. At the same time, it was a prodigious talent who, the minute the Colts drafted him, went from irrelevant at the bottom of the league to a team that all of a sudden was contending for the AFC South Championship every single year. So 7 years of an incredible run for Andrew Luck. Too short, perhaps, in some eyes, but what a run.
It's authentic right now because it's Andrew Luck. It's the Stanford graduate. It's the guy who stands right up there and he takes it on. But let him miss a few games here and there.
See how he feels?
See how he feels. And when it hit home, it hits home, and then he's healthy, walking around and playing in his backyard and having some fun and having coaches reach out to him that say, hey, man, you sure? And then watch what happens to Jacoby Brissett, how he plays before Frank Reich started to say, come on, man, like, don't do me like this again. And so you don't know. I understand that we all may believe that it's over and it's done with, but I don't know. I'm
buying it. I really am.
I am as well. Bernard, what was your initial take when you heard the news?
As I said before, I was making pancakes and bacon. So
at 9:30 at night.
I like it. Breakfast for dinner.
So when I heard it, you have to look at the things that he's gone through in his career. And I believe it. The guy hurts. The game of football, everybody wants to point the blame at the GM, point the blame at the owner. The game of football did this to him, and we all know that. And yes, could he have had help with, on his side? Yes, he could have had help, talking about the offensive line. But the game of football set him down, and I think, like he said, if you give him some time to kind of sit back, heal up, understand what's going on, his mental is right, his physical is right, he's going to start to get that itch, as I have, I'm pretty sure you have.
Exactly.
When that itch comes, it's just like, okay, I can go.
If he gets through the first year, yeah. And we're not talking about a guy who's played 13, 14 right. years, won Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a guy who's only played 7 years, missed 20-some-odd games in his career. Let him get through the first year. If he gets through the first year, then he may start to feel different about mm-hmm. it.
Right.
But getting through that first year is tough when you retire.
Well, there's been initial reaction from just about every corner of the sports world, as you might imagine. We'll hear from the Colts in just a minute, but here's what T.Y. Hilton had to say via Twitter. He said, every time I think about it, tears start to flow. No one understands you like I do. Our bond is one of a kind. I've decided to dedicate my season to my best friend. I love you, 12. Again, more reaction today from the Colts, beginning with the head coach, Frank Reich.
We can respect and honor the player and the teammate that Andrew is and was. But at the same time, we can share an excitement and an enthusiasm about the team that we have going forward and the journey ahead of us. Jacoby has this presence about him that it's just not all about him. He's in it for the other guys. I mean, he genuinely is about bringing out the best in other people. You just feel that. You see that. The guys know that. I could see it instantly seeing him with the guys out on the field. We are in good hands with Jacoby Brissett as our quarterback.
I was shocked. Which I'm sure everybody is. Y'all wouldn't be here if y'all weren't shocked either. But I was shocked. And then, we had a long conversation. And it was just, some emotions obviously going back and forth. But, you sit down and you talk to him and you understand, his decision. And, like I said, it's like one of my good friends, so it's tough, but, but I'm sure both of us will deal with it.
Well, it's a double-edged sword, obviously, for the guys who are still in that locker room. They're a friend of Andrew Luck. They're a teammate, so I'm sure they care for him as a person. But let's be clear, they also have to pick up the pieces. They got to put this team on the field, and they got to move forward. Is your perspective a little bit different, Bernard, if you're a guy in that locker room who says, we just lost our franchise quarterback in a heartbeat.
Well, I think if you, like T.Y. said, it brings tears to his eyes because he know this guy got me the ball. We can't lose sight. Jacoby, he's been here before. He's never had his own set of keys. He's always been there to replace somebody else, but knowing he was going to go back to the bench. This is his team now. So I think the guys on the team is going to have to rally behind him. As I said before, I think the guys are going to have to understand this game goes on. The young guys, Andrew Luck ain't coming back this year. This is Jacoby's team. We got to go play football and win football games. Jacoby Brissett got to win now.
Yeah, that, and T.Y. Hilton, I know he loves the quarterback, and this is guy, Andrew Luck. But you got to move forward now, mm-hmm. dog. I played with 14 different quarterbacks for 11 years, and now 15 to be exact. So you go and you help the next guy now. You can still be friends with Luck, and y'all can still hang out and do all those things, but now turn your attention and your energy to Jacoby, helping him be the best quarterback he could possibly be in the National Football League. You're still going to get your touches. The play calling is not going to change. They're still going to put an emphasis when they throw the ball. It's going to you. Mm. So that focus should be there.
Well, before we, Phil, I'll get you to weigh in, but before we do, you know, look, not every single bit of reaction has been positive. There's been some hot takes, if you will. Steve Berline had this to say. Look, this is one person's opinion. I'm a huge Andrew Luck fan, always have been, but this I cannot defend or justify. No, capital no, scenario where retirement is defensible. To do this to his teammates, organization, fans, and the NFL 2 weeks before the season is just not right. I love the guy, but this will haunt him. I don't fully agree with that, but I do at least appreciate there would be some of this sentiment out there for guys who get this news and realize, hey, we just lost a pretty good player.
There might be some people that feel this way. I mean, maybe there are some teammates in the locker room that I doubt would ever express it publicly. That does them just about zero good. But maybe there are some people that wonder, hey, listen, if you made this decision in March, how different would our roster complexion be right now? Will we have tried to address quarterback either in the draft or free agency? One thing I'll say, though, is make no mistake, 2017 and 2019 are entirely different years for the Colts. Different coaching staff. This is a much better offensive line. There is a culture in place defensively. They are far, far superior. The running game should be better. As much as the Colts might be reeling in some ways from this news about Andrew Luck, the bombshell, I mean, it was really the story of the offseason. They have so many pieces in place. They can't feel sorry for themselves. They were dealt a massive blow, but they can legitimately win this division.
And he can't make a decision in March when he hasn't arrived
right.
and came to that decision.
You don't know until you know.
You don't know. You right. get hurt in training camp. Now your decision that you may have made in March but not really announced it and made it in your heart but in your mind, you said, you know what, I think if something happens to me, I'm going to be done with this. Now you come to training camp, something happens to the ankle, then it's the calf or the calf and the ankle. Then you finally say, you know what, you go in there and you talk to the trainers and the doctors. They're telling you, well, it's going to take some time to heal to come back. And you're saying to yourself, I don't want to sit around on the sideline
again,
holding a damn clipboard, having people look at me while I'm not on the field. I'd rather remove myself so I can start my life after football if that's what he chooses to do.
Well, yeah,
there's nothing wrong with it. I think personally Steve Berline is out of line
definitely
by even line. Attacking
yes.
such the character of a guy like Andrew Luck in this situation.
I tend to agree, and this argument that you should know sooner or have told people sooner is so ridiculous to me because
how can you tell somebody
you don't know?
You don't know.
Right. Can you predict the future? You don't know how your body or you just don't know so many variables, Bernard.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I don't think he was fully healthy anyways. So I think this was the icing on the cake when he's dealing with this calf injury and then everybody's saying it's an ankle injury. I think somewhere else in his body he was hurting still. So for football players, this is the game. You, after week one, you don't play at 100%. You really don't play at 100% really ever. So, like I said, I think this injury was the icing on the cake. He was ready to walk away. I don't know if it was anything the team really could have done this offseason if he would have told him sooner. Maybe addressing the quarterback position. I don't think they'd have got that in the draft or even in the free agency. I think you still give the keys to Brissett.
Well, we're going to have continued reaction to Andrew Luck's decision, including a live report from Ed Werder, who is out in Indianapolis. But there is other news. I wasn't kidding when I said it was a busy weekend. Lamar Miller, sadly, done for the 2019 NFL season. An MRI Sunday confirmed what the Texans had feared, and that is that their starting running back suffered a torn ACL. Mm. Miller was carted off the field during Houston's first drive against the Dallas Cowboys on Saturday. In New England, Josh Gordon is back at practice for the Patriots. That means the 28-year-old wide receiver in full pads practicing over the weekend, which would indicate he's passed his physical and has been removed from the non-football injury list. And here we go. Antonio Brown says he will move on from his fight to wear his old helmet. This is according to good friend, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. He lost his second grievance hearing with the league regarding the use of his old helmet, and so he says for now he will deal with it and wear an approved helmet. File under, we'll see. It is also official in the nation's capital. Jay Gruden says Case Keenum has won the Redskins' starting quarterback job. He really won a competition that never got started because Colt McCoy is still dealing with issues from the broken right leg he suffered in December. Keenum and the Redskins opened the season at Philadelphia. And 49er fans breathing a sigh of relief after a Blutarski-like 0.0 quarterback rating in his first action of the preseason. Jimmy G rebounded in week three, going 14 of 20 for 188 yards and a score.
Isn't how I envisioned this or planned this, but I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. It's the hardest decision of my life. I'm still in pain. It's been 4 years of this injury pain rehab cycle, and it's taken my joy of this game away. I want to thank football for so many wonderful moments in my life, learn, change in so many meaningful ways. It's the greatest team sport in the world.
Well, we will continue to react to Andrew Luck's very shocking decision throughout the afternoon, but some other updates now from around the league. And we'll start with Cam Newton, who was injured over the weekend. But the good news, if this is any indication, he does not seem all that concerned as he arrived at Panthers practice today. He did suffer a sprained foot in the Panthers preseason game against the Patriots over the weekend. He was walking at practice yesterday without a walking boot. That's good news. But he did spend practice working with the team's trainers. Here's Ron Rivera with an update.
Him going through his warm-ups, his pre-practice warm-ups he typically does. And then he went through his throws. He threw the ball pretty well. I didn't get the number how many throws he made, but he threw the ball and threw it pretty well today. So we're pretty excited. He didn't really drop back or anything like that, just so you guys know.
Still on progress is the
yes,
schedule you guys
have. We feel very good about it. And, we'll see how he feels tomorrow morning. Hopefully he feels fine so we can go out and throw some more.
Well, David Newton joins us now from Charlotte. David, was that practice? And what more can you tell us about Cam and what he was or was not able to do this afternoon?
Well, first, Wendy, there's no indication he's going to pull Andrew Luck and announce the retirement anytime soon. Cam wants to play. We didn't get to see a lot of what he did. Most of what I saw was him working with the trainer, doing some motion things, working on his shoulder, because that was the big concern coming into this preseason was the shoulder that had surgery during the offseason. But all seems to be really well with that. So they're really anticipating he can play. All signs have been good for him so far. I asked Torrey Smith, his wide receiver, I said, what's it like having a little bit of uncertainty at your quarterback position less than 2 weeks before the opener? And he said there is no uncertainty. He expects Cam to play. Everybody does. But I will go back to 2014, where Cam Newton in the third preseason game against New England suffered a fractured rib, and all the indications were coming into this time at that point was that he would play in the opener against Tampa Bay, and then he didn't. They felt it was best long-term. So they're going to do what's best long-term for Cam and his foot, but all the indications are right now that he will be the starter on opening day against the Rams.
Of course he will.
David, thank you. What's interesting here is that on Thursday we spoke and I asked the panel what would constitute a successful night for Cam Newton. To a person, they said, get out healthy. And, of course, then you see this and, you know, it's sort of that age-old, oh, here we go again in the preseason. Do we have that conversation, Key, again, about the viability and the necessity of the preseason where more and more it's just about getting out and getting healthy for the start of the regular season?
I wouldn't play my frontline guys in the preseason at all. Sean McVay showed you that. Went ahead and went to the Super Bowl. And as you continue to see, there's an old school mentality where you got Bill Belichick, of course. He's going to play guys. You have certain people that is going to play their players. But for the most part, I wouldn't play my guys in the preseason because the preseason really is about guys that are coming into the league, second-year guys, third-year guys that are trying to make the roster. When you got superstars, there's no need for the superstars to play at all. I understand the tickets, people buy them, they want to see him play. You go through it similar in the NBA where guys are sitting when fans are paying their money. But a guy like Cam Newton is the most important person on your team. You don't take a chance. You already know what he can do as a quarterback. He doesn't need to see reps against the New England Patriots to win a roster spot for you. He's part of the fifth. In fact, he's the number one guy on the 53-man roster.
I think there's sort of two conversations surrounding the preseason that have been molded into one, really this preseason. One is, should players of frontline status play at all? And that's sort of been gelled with, is four games too long in the preseason? Because I'm with Key in that, you know, most coaches will continue to gravitate towards, let's call it the Sean McVay model of just, you know, see you September 1st or so, whatever the first week of the regular season is. But there is still value to the preseason. You are seeing players across rosters in the NFL
yes.
that probably are somewhere between, you know, 45 and 90 on the roster that are competing for not just the final eight 53-man roster spots, but for the 10 practice squad spots too. Those are important. So for these teams with frontline players, I bet in years going forward, we'll barely see starting quarterbacks at all prior to Labor Day.
See, I'm a little different. I think guys need to play. If we look at this clip where Cam
Newton
was...
That's because you play linebacker,
I'm a safety, man. Linebacker add weight. But as far as the clip we watched, he was evading the rush. Well, in practice and in-game or inter-squad scrimmages, he's not doing that. They're moving out of the way. They're creating lanes for him to throw. They're running past the quarterback, not touching him. He's a big body. So he sprained that foot because he hasn't been used to the cut in that way in practice. So I believe he's going to be fine with a sprained foot. Obviously, I'm not on the training staff, but guys got to play to get the rust off.
Well, and then there's also a whole other argument about superstar players. Tom Brady, I think, is an example, who want to play a certain amount, who say to their coach, I need this for me. This is how I get ready. This is my process. And then you got a coach who needs to make a decision. You know,
you're a competitor.
Where
you
do
like
I draw the
play.
Line? Yeah, of course. I mean, it makes it. And you want a player who wants to play. Let's be clear about that.
And as Luck's leaving the field, it appears the whole crowd was upset with the guy.
I'd be lying if I didn't say I heard the reaction. Yeah, it hurt. I'll be honest, Chap. It hurt.
We're looked at as superheroes, as these not human beings. And for him to have that human element, express it in the press conference, after the game, go and talk to the media, answer questions, I thought that was really big.
Human beings, we're not robots, you know what I'm saying? You can't turn us on, turn us off when you want. Like, it don't happen like that. And I think people feel that they feel like they're out of touch in that aspect because they don't know what that feels like for us. Yeah, they may see the numbers and how much we get paid, but you also got to understand, take into effect that it's a livelihood, that if something happens, you can't do something for the rest of your life. So that is much bigger than, I guess, the numbers and whatever they look at. But it's the gift that we've been given, and it's also the curse.
If you only saw bits and pieces of Andrew Luck's press conference on Saturday, it is difficult to get the insight and really the context into what factored into his decision. So here's an extended look of what was truly a fascinating press conference.
Hello. That is certainly isn't how I envisioned this or planned this. But I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life. But it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing and unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season. And I've felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away. And this, sorry. I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I want to live, taking the joy out of this game. And after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation, and the only way forward for me is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in. Come to the proverbial fork in the road. And I made a vow to myself that if I ever did again, I would choose me in a sense. It's very difficult. I love this team. I love my teammates, the folks in our building, the fans, the game of football. And as part of this team, as a member of this team, and because of how I feel, I know that I am unable to pour my heart and soul into this position, which would not only sell myself short, but the team in the end as well. And it's sad, but I also have a lot of clarity in this. It's been a difficult process, but my wife, my family, my friends, Mr. Ballard, Mr. Irsay, the Irsay family, and Frank Reich have been incredibly helpful, supportive, and I'm so grateful for them. As I told the guys earlier in the locker room, it's been the honor of a lifetime to represent the Horseshoe and the city of Indianapolis, both on and off the field. To Mr. Irsay and your family, thank you. Thank you so much. I am so grateful to have been drafted here. Your unwavering support is incredibly appreciated. I cannot fathom another owner who loves their team as much as you do. And that we feel that as players. We appreciate that as players. It permeates through the building. And from the moment, and we talked about this earlier, but from the moment I arrived in Indianapolis, I felt like I could be myself, and I felt like I did not have to fill Peyton, one of the great, you know, of all times. I felt like I did not have to fill his shoes. I could be me. And for that, and I know that starts with the person up top, and for that, I'm very, very, very much appreciated. So many people to thank. So many people to thank. It's, I think, maybe fitting that Chuck was the coordinator for the opposing team tonight, because he had so many positive points and moments and such an impact on my life, and BA as well, who's obviously not here tonight, but with Tampa. All my former coaches, but it did feel a little bit full circle walking out there tonight and being able to give Chuck Pagano a hug, who provided so many great memories for me and Colts fans everywhere. Robert Mathis, who quickly became and will always be my football hero. I love playing with him. I loved watching him play. He was as good a teammate as I've ever had. Reggie Wayne, what a thrill it was to throw to him. What a thrill it was to throw to you. I thank you for the incredibly positive impact you had on a young player in this league. I was a part of some amazing quarterback rooms that helped me grow and become a man in this game. Clyde Christensen, who ran it for a while with Drew Stanton and Chandler Harnish, Shoddy and Scotty Tolzien, especially Matt Hasselbeck. I know Matt was a great influence on me. I learned so much from all of y'all. And so many of y'all are lifelong friends. They are lifelong friends. And again, I'm much, much appreciated for that. I think it's, I guess, fitting that I'm in my retirement press conference in an athletic shirt. I know I look pretty ratty up here after games. So sorry, Mom, I can't have a better appearance right now. My wife and I are so proud. When people ask us where we're from, we say Indianapolis. It's our home. The support we felt here from lifelong friends, from the people that we love, the 500, this has been an incredible place to make a home and to grow. I guess I'll transition to this current team and why it makes it so difficult, I guess, for me to stand up here and say I'm retired. It's a great group of men. It's a great group of guys. A group that makes coming to work every day feel very, very special. And I feel incredibly lucky for that. And fans and people need to know about the men in that locker room. They're great. They're honest. They're real. There's no bigger fan of them than me. Chris Ballard, thank you. You know I have so much respect and admiration for you. We've had a lot of tough conversations. I've learned so much from him. The honesty, it's incredible. Frank, you're so thoughtful, driven, kind. Again, I've learned so much. So, you know, there are times last year I'd have to pinch myself and say, is this for real? Am I allowed to have this much fun on a football field? And it started with you. all the rest of the staff. They made coming into work a joy and something that I certainly will miss. And I don't, you know, coming back last year and playing, a lot of people had a lot helped me in a lot of ways, and they'll never know how important that was to me. And I'm, again, so appreciative. And my teammates, I feel so conflicted because of my love for these men. But it is clear to me that's what's best for this team is me, does not involve me. I'd like to say a quick note about a few of them as we get towards the end here. But when I was a 7-year-old, my father drove me up to Amsterdam, and I watched Adam Vinatieri kick for the Amsterdam Admirals in NFL Europe. Then when I was in 7th grade, my father took me to the Super Bowl in Houston, and I watched Adam Vinatieri kick a game winner against the Carolina Panthers. And then, of course, my first win as a Colt involves Adam Vinatieri kicking a game winner against the Minnesota Vikings, and I told him all this earlier today. I stand in awe of Adam Vinatieri. He's a great man, a great teammate, and again, he's one of those guys. I'll tell my grandkids I got to play with him. Jacoby Brissett is an awesome dude. He's got a bright future. He's diligent, sharp, loves football. I hope I can continue to support him in different ways. I am so grateful for our friendship. Getting a little more personal, but coming back into the building early last year, I was very jealous and resentful of this fun, happy dude that was in my spot as a quarterback on this team. I obviously didn't have a lot of confidence in myself at that time either, but I could not have been more wrong, and he helped me grow in so many ways. He's a lifelong friend. He means so, so much to me. He's a big part of, you know, me having one of the more rewarding years of my football life last year. I cannot wait to support him and see him lead this team. I am excited for the future of the Colts, in large part because of Jacoby and also all the other men in that locker room. T.Y. Hilton, I had more fun throwing the football to T.Y. than should be allowed, probably. When I was away in 2017 for the latter half of the season, I had to figure out why I wanted to come back and play football. And I boiled it simply down to the fact that I like throwing the ball to my friends, and I love throwing the ball to T.Y. Hilton. He's the best football player I've ever played with, and he's a better teammate than he is a football player. In conclusion, my folks who aren't here tonight, but Mom, Dad, Mayor, Emily, Ed, Uncle Will, all my friends, thank you. And my wife, Nicole, thank you. I love you. And I guess in a philosophical sense, I want to thank football for so many wonderful moments in my life and the pressure, circumstances, environment that pushed me to grow, learn, change in so many meaningful ways. It's the greatest team sport in the world.
And that was Andrew Luck on Saturday night. And, you know, I watched it then and you watch it today and you still sort of shake your head. I mean, if nothing else, regardless of what you think or if he'll be back or if he's done playing, the candor, Bernard, and the sort of honesty and clarity or transparency, I should say, that we don't often see and that we say we want to see from these athletes was on full display. You can't argue that.
As we were just kind of laughing about, he's real. I mean, this guy can't make this thing up. He's not playing. I honestly believe he is hurt. And, I mean, time away from the game is going to heal that. Time with his family is going to heal it. Not being on a schedule that you didn't create is going to heal that. You know, opportunities for him. You know, this dude is doing so many things outside of football is crazy. He is probably one of the smartest players I've ever played against. You know, so that's real.
Key, what don't we see? What don't we know? I mean, you know, we can sit on this side of the equation. You guys have played the game. You've also walked away from it. You know, what don't we know about how difficult this process is?
Well, I think you first got to understand the stress level that you're under every single week. Not the weekend, the week leading up to the game, the preparation, the things that you have to get corrected in practice before you even go to the game. The game is fun. It's the week. I mean, we'll play the game for free. It's the money you're making during the week of practice, rehab, lifting weights, film study, being away from your family. Coaches all often say that they come in at 6 o'clock in the morning and leave at 12 o'clock at night. Well, there's a lot of players in the league that do the same thing. You just don't hear about it. And when you look at that for Andrew Luck and just listening to him at the press conference, you can tell from an emotional side, he's happy that he's doing it, but he's also going to miss it as well because he's poured his guts, his heart and soul all the way since high school, probably since Pop Warner. He's been doing this over and over and over and over throughout his entire life. I mean, that's a lot. I said when I retired, the first time I had an opportunity to enjoy anything on the weekend was when I started with ESPN. I could actually watch football and sit down, have a beer and chill because I've been playing football my entire life. This is what he's going through. Now he actually physically could sit down, talk to his dad on a Saturday and a Sunday, watch football, critique what's going on, and not have to worry about anything.
I'm a little annoyed I missed a beer while we were here. But
they can still serve.
Well, not necessarily beer.
Well, okay, I'm just saying. Nobody gave me one. Field, I think he's right, though. There's just, I mean, whatever the reasons for the decision, and I'm sure he's certain today, it's a difficult thing to walk away from something that really has defined you since you were a kid.
Yeah, you're known as Andrew Luck, the football player. This is someone who brings so much to the table in so many ways. And Frank Reich actually referenced that in his own press conference today, is that you think about the pressure of walking away from football. Think about the legacy he could leave if he inspires millions of children to read books, which I know, as quirky as that may sound for a football player, it's legitimately something that Andrew Luck is decidedly passionate about. And I thought what will stand out to me from Saturday night is that a lot of times, whether it's after a game, after a crushing loss, or in a retirement announcement, coaches, players, you name it, are almost numb. They don't quite seem to have the ability to articulate everything that contributed to that decision. Remember, Andrew Luck was not planning to have that retirement press conference that night. It was planned for Sunday after being moved back from Friday. And yet I thought he did an amazing job of articulating his thought process, showing respect for football, respect for the Colts, his teammates, the history of the game. And then he went up there after what we just saw and answer questions, and didn't do so defensively. He didn't, you know, there was no pejorative manner to his tone. He looked journalists in the eye, and he asked, and he understood the gravity of the situation. He answered honestly, and I thought in a moment where a lot of people would have been vulnerable and maybe sort of clammed up, Andrew Luck kind of poured his heart out there, which is not always easy to do. These are football players who, whether you play quarterback or you're a safety, you know, you sort of have an armor
linebacker
to you. You have an armor to that. You that player, you know, but fans think of him as people that are sort of, you know, they have a natural armor that is impenetrable. And we saw some of it sort of crack on Saturday night.
We did, and so did his teammates. And we talked about the fact that this team has to, you know, look, nobody's going to cry for the Colts. That's not how it works. The regular season is, 10 days away now.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Andrew Luck. You know, he is a very, very impressive person, first and foremost.
He was one of the best teammates I've ever had. One of the best people I've ever been around.
He's a competitor, one of the best competitors, strong guy. Sometimes people forget how athletic he is.
Shoot, man, that was, I think that kind of took everyone by surprise. I didn't really believe it last night when I first saw it, but football's hard, you know, not everyone can do this.
Knowing his toughness and his mental toughness, this does surprise me. I mean, something's got to be wrong somewhere.
It was mind-blowing. It was something that, of course, caught everyone off guard. But, hey, I mean, that's you know, he can control his own future, and he's a great player. He's a great quarterback.
Yeah, I think I'm probably, like everybody else, a bit surprised and stunned.
I respect the hell out of it. I mean, it takes a whole lot to walk away from a ton of money like that, an organization like that.
We're looked at as superheroes, as these not human beings. And for him to have that human element, express it in the press conference after the game, go and talk to the media, answer questions. I thought that was really big.
Listen, Andrew's a friend. We'll exchange text messages with him from time to time. So I'll be reaching out to him to check on him.
He's just one of the great players and the great people in the National Football League. And
That really surprises me. I'd love to hear more about it, but I just hold him in the highest regard as a player and as a person, and wish him nothing but the best going forward.
Andrew Luck is not the first superstar to shock the NFL world by leaving early. 9 years with Cleveland, Jim Brown won the rushing title 8 times and MVP 3 times, including his final season in 1965. Gale Sayers spent 7 seasons in the league, but played only 4 games in his final 2, nearly 5,000 rushing yards. And since 1940, Sayers is one of 4 NFL players to be named to the All-Pro first team in each of his first 5 years. Barry Sanders, he retired in July of 1999 after racking up over 15,000 yards in 10 seasons with the Detroit Lions. And citing wear and tear on his body, Calvin Johnson called it quits after 9 years with the Lions. Megatron, who set the all-time single-season record with just under 2,000 receiving yards, had over 1,200 in his final season. And then Gronk, after 9 seasons, he hung it up, the 3rd most receiving touchdowns by a tight end, and his 80 total touchdowns are the most in NFL history, Patriots history, I should say. Ed Werder is with the Colts, and Ed, an interesting day there today because, of course, you hear from the head coach and the team's back in meetings for the first time since Luck's announcement. What was it like there today?
Yeah, they're on the practice field right now, but Wendy, Andrew Luck's locker here at the Colts facility was located appropriately enough just below the O in Indianapolis. But today the nameplate had already been removed, the locker stall empty of its contents, and one of the most talented quarterbacks in Colts history was just as gone, having retired unexpectedly. Even as they support replacement Jacoby Brissett, Colts players find themselves unable to conceal their conflicting emotions, especially those closest to Luck, like wide receiver Ty Hilton.
That's my best friend, so, you know, we're always going to be together, stick together to the end. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, he had to go out his way, and, you know, I was happy for him.
You know, it's always, you know, prepare like you're a starter from day one with me. So it was just more so the shock of, you know, he won't be here.
You can just feel his presence in the huddle, on the field, the confidence that he's had, the chemistry with the receivers. We all know that Andrew and T.Y. had a very unique chemistry and connection. For example, I can feel that developing with Jacoby and T.Y.
And just 13 days before the regular season opener, Frank Reich faces the enormous challenge of capably replacing the quarterback who took the most snaps in the NFL last season. Luck took 1,052, all but the 18 Brissett took in the first year of Reich's system. But Reich pointed out that he got all of the first-team reps throughout the offseason, and that was about 1,200, which is more than obviously they would take in an entire game. But now he has to do it in games that really matter in less than 2 weeks.
Ed, thank you. He sure does. As Bernard so aptly put it, he never had the keys before, but he does now. This will be his team, and it starts today. How does this reshape, if you will, the AFC South?
It's open.
Just like that, team, that one decision.
Yeah, I think, oh, absolutely. Every AFC South team went into training camp believing it had a legitimate shot of winning the division this year. And you could understand, you could talk yourself into any of those. But at their best, the Colts were clearly the best team, deepest roster, best or co-best quarterback between Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson when fully healthy, outstanding coaching staff, all the right pieces in place, plus plenty of cap space to be dynamic and add some players if the opportunity presented itself. With Andrew Luck retiring, I think right now the Houston Texans jump in as the favorite. Now, they've got major question marks of their own, but I think this is the truest four-team race of any division in the NFL right
now. See, I don't think it's four teams. I think it's only three. I don't even count Tennessee in
there. You're right. I think the Titans are a stretch.
I think they're a stretch because I'm not a Marcus
Mariota
guy. 3 straight
years of winning seasons.
Yeah, but
they're mad at him.
It's a, you know, they're like an 8-8, 9-7 football team to me, and I don't think that that'll be enough to win this type division.
Okay.
I like Deshaun, obviously, in Houston. I think that that's there. But Nick Foles joining Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette finding his groove again, that defense getting back to doing what they did 2 years ago. I feel like Jacksonville and Houston, two-team race, and I believe in Jacoby Brissett. I think he will, in fact, get things going. When he was the starting quarterback for those couple games in New England, now everybody's been good in New England underneath the center for the most part when Tom Brady hasn't been in there. But I think Jacoby Brissett showed you that he can play the position as a starting guy. He went out and did some good things in New England. Better roster, like you mentioned, Phil, in Indianapolis now. The keys to the car is his. He gets to drive it. I'm looking forward to him doing great things in Indy.
I think it's going to be Houston. I like what you said, Phil. I like what Houston has done. I think Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, you got Fuller coming back. You hate to see Lamar go down. But the on-time trade for Duke Johnson, I think it's Houston's division.
Do we know enough? Have we seen enough, Key, in the small sample size that has been Jacoby Brissett's NFL career to say he can definitively take this team, pick up the slack and take this? He's not Andrew Luck. I understand that. Or at least we don't think so to date.
I think so. And when you look at it, they put things together for Andrew Luck. They went out and retooled the offensive line. They brought in Devin Funches over from Carolina. So they started within the mindset of making this team all about the quarterback. Now, we're not asking Jacoby Brissett to go out and be Andrew Luck. What we're asking him to do is engineer drives and get your team into the end zone and don't lose the football games. And I think Frank Reich, former quarterback teammate of mine, knows what he's doing as a head coach. This isn't his first year. This is now his second year. So whatever mistakes he made a year ago, he's going to learn from and be even better at doing that.
He also, Frank Reich, at one point called Jacoby Brissett a top 20 quarterback. Think about the stakes for him this year. If he plays well, he secures the starting quarterback job for a long time. And by the way, he's a free agent after this season, representing himself. One of the most fascinating sidebars is what Jacoby Brissett becomes.
There
over
is
the next
nothing
year.
But opportunity for this athlete at this juncture. Here we go. Cleveland Browns receiver Odell Beckham returned to team drills for the first time since August. Beckham, who has been battling a hip injury, is not expected to play in the team's preseason finale, but the expectation is he'll be ready to go when they open the season for real. ESPN.com has released its top 100 based on the collective opinions of our analysts and NFL Nation reporters. We'll hit some highlights here. Top tight end, that distinction for 2019 belongs to Travis Kelce. The top rated tight end at 18, the second most receiving yards and second most receiving touchdowns by a tight end last season. No big surprise that the premier running back would be the Giants' Saquon Barkley, overall number 12. It's the highest rated running back, the third rookie in NFL history to post 2,000 yards from scrimmage. DeAndre Hopkins coming in at number 5, the highest rated wide receiver. He accounted for 38% of the Texans' receiving yards last season. And then there's Khalil Mack, the third best player in the NFL according to this poll. Highest rated outside linebacker, one of three players with at least 10 sacks, three forced fumbles, and an interception. And at quarterback, none other than the reigning MVP, Patrick Mahomes, at number 2 overall. We know about the 50 touchdowns, but 14 of those thrown on the run, and that is double the next closest quarterback. Aaron Donald, the top rated player in the NFL for the 2019 season, 20 and a half sacks last year. First time since 2014 that a player reached the 20-sack milestone. Some other notable names, Jags corner Jalen Ramsey, the top-rated corner, Jamal Adams, number 61, and finally, Darius Slay at 100. He was added to this list after Andrew Luck.
We're close.
Retired, so he was included. All right, Key. Look at that.
Come on, Key. Let it rip, baby. This is my list only.
I'm just...
Agree? I care to disagree, my friend.
Well, some names on here that are above others.
Okay.
Like Russell Wilson is above Drew Brees. Not by much. He's sandwiched in between Michael Thomas. So I'm okay. But it's like, how do you put Russell above Drew when everything that New Orleans is doing is going through Drew Brees? It's going through him where Russell Wilson is leaning heavy on a running game as well as defense in Seattle. Then I look at the receiver. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster, a Trojan alum of mine, I'm always rooting for him. But he's above Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Bucks. So I'm like, okay, Phil Yates, you and your crew put this list together, but y'all done got some stuff backwards. You got Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, 7 games or whatever he played a year ago.
Be careful
is
now,
is ahead of Deshaun Watson. Not only that, he's ahead of Jared Goff, which is crazy to me. Because if you go out and you ask Sean McVay right now if he would rather have Jared Goff or Baker, not forget Sean McVay, just go poll
general managers and personnel people throughout the league, who would they rather have right now, Jared Goff or Baker Mayfield?
You think it would be Jared Goff?
I 100% believe it would be Jared Goff.
Ooh, boy.
Over Baker Mayfield.
I certainly don't understand Baker over Deshaun. Or Deshaun, either one of those.
I could understand the argument more
that one
with
I don't
Baker
understand.
Versus Deshaun, but I would be surprised if it was – I think it would be a pretty heavy
Baker Mayfield win over Jared Goff. Everyone wants to give the credit to Sean McVay for turning him around – after a dismal year under Jeff Fisher. So Sean comes in and he fixes everything. So the first thing they say is that Jared Goff, it must be Sean McVay, it must be Sean McVay. Yes, it is, but yet and still, that quarterback has to retain that information, take it to the field, deliver it. Look at his numbers.
Execute.
And look at this. He took his team to the Super Bowl without even having a preseason snap.
Bernard.
Well, preseason matter.
I think he still didn't get the reps. Projection for this year.
It's not what you've done in previous years. And I just think that the overall skill set for Baker Mayfield's got the chance.
You're just buying a Cleveland hype, man.
Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too much right now. But I'm telling you right now, not only would I prefer Baker Mayfield over Jared Goff this season, I think I'd be surprised if you pulled 100 executives if it wasn't like at least a 60-40 split.
Well, I'm going to pull the ones that have success being executives. There's a whole lot of dudes in this league that have success. It is a fair distinction
that this is for 2019.
Right.
Bernard, you know, we're not saying the top 100 of all time or last year. I still don't think Baker's – I don't get the Deshaun thing. But anyway, what's your thoughts? You got to agree with Patrick Mahomes. I don't think anybody's arguing.
So we'll leave that one out, but outside of that.
I look at this list. I think the biggest thing is Juju Smith, him being above Mike Evans. Mike Evans is really freaking good. I like him in Tampa. I think he's going to catch 80-plus balls, 1,500 yards. He is going to be the outlet for the quarterback there in Tampa. So that's my only really argument with this list.
Look at Bernard. He's nice.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm assuming
A.J. Green is at 51 because of the injury.
Yes, he is because
of the injury. I just want to make sure.
Projection going forward.
When you guys start putting these lists together as analysts and stuff like that, I want to make sure you're doing it the right way.
I was asked who was too low. My own personal opinion. Mine was Lane Johnson, right tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. The guy is an absolute beast. And right tackle, left tackle. Don't tell me that left tackle is so much
and
more important
And y'all don't
anymore.
Even have the defensive tackle, Kenny Clark, young player from the Green Bay Packers, not even in the top 100.
Don't rope the rest of the...
Maybe I'm just like, geez!
You're taking all the heat.
Like, how are you going to do this?
Everybody can have this same debate, the same conversation at home. That's why, you know, these conversations. You can see the whole list on ESPN.com, and you can even at field. That's okay, too, right? Let him know.
I welcome it.
He'll respond.
He welcomes it. Here is his former teammate, his good friend as well, Matt Hasselbeck, on the decision and whether he was surprised on Golic and Wingo.
I think that he believes 100% in his heart that he is done with football. And my guess is that that will not be the case for the rest of his life. But that's just a guess. I believe that he thinks he's done. But knowing him the way that I do and how much he loves football, I would write it in pencil, not pen. That's me personally.
It's a fair question. I'm going to go right down the line. Bernard, your first day. We'll let you go first. Will we see Andrew Luck back on a football field before the final chapter is written?
I think we will. I mean, he's a competitor. He's a guy who he just needs to breathe right now. He needs to have his own schedule. He needs to be able to spend time with his family. Once he gets that, I think he comes back.
I think so, absolutely, Phil. Buddy, I told you earlier.
Well, he said it was a guess, in fairness.
Yeah, but it's one of those guests where I've been around you long enough. I kind of know you. I kind of know your tendencies.
Yes.
I think he needs to rest. He needs to step away from football for a little bit, miss it some, just like all coaches do and quarterbacks. They find themselves back in the game at some point.
All right, Phil Yates.
I think he's done. I really do. We talk about people that march to the beat of their own drums. What we really mean is Andrew Luck. This is a guy who's got vested interest all across the, you know, almost like across the globe, literally. Loves to travel, has a huge interest in reading. He is a guy that has certainly always been unique, different from many other players that walk through the NFL. I think he's done.
You know what I think is interesting and what I think above all else, what Matt said, I believe that Andrew Luck believes he's done. Today.
Right.
So everybody else, we all have opinions. We can guess. He doesn't know, right? Because he truly believes right now that to be the case. When he gets some R&R, when he gets some time with his family, when that difficult time of being away from football comes true, we shall see.
I'll be right.
But the good news is we'll get to watch it either way. See you back here tomorrow. Nice to have you, Bernard.
Thank you for having me.